Chapter 4. You shall not commit adultery. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say that everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in his heart. Matthew 5:27-28.
These words must have a somewhat disenchanting and trivializing effect on the mystical, esoteric person who is under the impression that the Sermon on the Mount is a discussion between Christ and pupils who are going the path. After all, one would assume that the striving person who is ennobled to rise up in the light of the Holy Mount must have risen at least above the sin of adultery. Is the Sermon on the Mount meant for an ordinary everyday public, after all, and not for an exclusive audience? Or have these words, for some reason, been slipped in by someone long ago, thus creating a strange chord in these realistic songs of true life? We would like to subject these words to careful examination. First of all, it is necessary to rid oneself of the mistaken idea that this warning is only for male pupils on the path. Christ is clearly speaking to men and women alike. Impure or improper desires are certainly not the sole province of the male sex, and we cannot see any difference between coveting and consciously allowing oneself to be coveted. Speculating on someone's desire is more reprehensible than giving in to this desire. Therefore, we need to be aware that the meaning here is not a man or a woman, but the human being in his twofold manifestation. Men and women are confronted with each other, and both, pupils of the school included, are obliged to fathom various dark mysteries of their existence. The pupil needs to discover the divine thought that lies at the basis of human duality. If he uncovers these mysteries and experiences something of the wisdom of these divine thoughts, he can find the way to the true conduct of life being something that often degenerates into misconduct. You can approach the warning given to the pupils on the Holy Mount in two ways. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." Marital relationship has been regulated and protected throughout all times, primitively or in a more civilized way, by all people and races. Religious and legal norms have always existed to protect a certain culture of matrimony. Divorce was sanctioned legally and religiously only when there was a clear case of adultery. These rules of life are well known to everyone. They were said to everyone of this nature. However, you who aspire to a new spiritual path and are regarded as belonging to the new people led by Christ to a higher and more profound knowledge need to understand that the relatively simple, self-evident rules that govern the relationship between the sexes are unsatisfactory for pupils of the spiritual school. There is a collaboration between the two sexes, sealed by religious, humanistic, and legal norms. There is also a collaboration between the two aspects of the human life wave on a higher level. This collaboration creates a relationship that is regulated according to the norms of a higher law. This is what the Sermon on the Mount is referring to. If you fulfill the humane, religious, and legal norms of society and so can serve as an example, this still does not necessarily mean that you could satisfy the standards of the Sermon on the Mount, which do not apply in any way to the sensual person. You know how man of this nature is protected against the excesses of this nature. The state makes laws and judges conflicts. Exoteric religion also has its say and sets its standards, but it is different for the spiritual person. He enters a higher nature and so faces a different law, a different rational moral set of values. Whatever was said to those of old, the pupil on the path must lift himself above the old testamentary phase and understand in an entirely different way what it is to covet and what adultery is. Are you completely satisfied with your life's companion? Whether you are conscious of it or not, you are not. You have learned to know one another in your limitations, or are engaged in doing so. Now there is the urge for something else or someone else through which you get rid of the discovered limitations by idealizing. This urge, this desire, will in most cases be highly chaste and pure. It can be expressed very impersonally, and yet it is adultery. This is where the Sermon on the Mount calls an urgent halt. Everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in his heart. Once again, do not consider these words with regard to sensuality. We address those who have risen above the herd animal. Every pupil on the path feels the urge for higher things, for light, liberation, fulfillment of life. The result is, and how can it be otherwise, conflict with the other one or other thing, because they still exist on the ordinary level of nature. The eye, self-maintenance, and the laws of nature pull in another direction. After this conflict comes the reaction, whether it is coarse, after nature, or refined, after the spirit, because your life's reality is being pushed into a corner. The reaction awakens the desire for a restored balance, completion, relief from hunger. Then man begins to search for the other one or the other thing, and immediately he commits adultery in the heart, the source of the desire. There are many pupils on the path who deceive themselves in these things, as they are adulterers in this sense, even if they are not married. For the words of the Sermon on the Mount rise beyond ordinary understanding. They are spoken to pupils who sit at the feet of the Master on the Holy Mount. From the beginning of time, man and woman have been placed opposite one another, because the human life wave manifests itself in two aspects, in two sexes, and both groups are called by God to cooperate. You live with the other one, or, and we say this intentionally, with the other thing. Some of us are not conscious of the other one, or ignore it, because of the ghastly suffering of thousands of years. Yet, if you reject the man or the woman as your partner in life for whatever reason, your inclination will nevertheless go towards feminine or masculine ambitions, vocations, behavior, or condition of being. This can clearly be seen in everyone, especially in those who vigorously deny it. You are married, you have a life partner, or you are looking for one. Or you are married tied to the other thing that is opposite in polarity. The primordial being in man will show itself no matter how. So we place you before a reality. If you are a pupil on the path, sitting at the feet of the Master on the Holy Mount, this reality will not satisfy you, nor can it, because you are searching for a higher, more complete reality. Consequently, you commit adultery, spiritually, morally, ethically, and physically. It was said to those of old, "You shall not commit adultery," and you don't want to do it. You feel you cannot do it, as it does not give a solution to the many problems of life. You do not want to do it, for you are getting used to the concept of life sanctification. You adhere to a high, pure, and noble standard. You are connected with the other one or the other thing, are interwoven with it, and yet there is adultery. There is in you a world-spanning longing for completion, and according to the urge of the original atom of God burning within you, you desire the perfect other one or the perfect other thing. It makes no difference which. This is what adultery is. Everyone who desires a woman or a man, everyone who looks at feminine or masculine to desire it, has already committed adultery in his or her heart. You can give this urge different names. You can fiercely and passionately deny the deepest essence of the human generation, but the spiritual school places itself above this. The Christ, standing on the mount with his pupils, says, "Between those of old and those of today, between the youth of the past and the youth of today, there is no fundamental difference, at most practical one." the conflict. How do we escape the adultery in question? Isn't it inevitable that a pupil comes into conflict when he strives for something higher and turns to the light? Surely he wants this kind of adultery. You will no longer want it if you reflect on the knowledge given you in God's name. Your state of being, the sphere in which you live, is your reality in every sense. Your whole state of being, with its beauty and ugliness, is in accordance with the actual situation. Your spouse and all the others around you with whom you are linked via the blood, and everything else around you, are the environment to which you belong, in which you are placed in God's name. That is how it is with all people. That is how it is with the world. This world, this murky, pitch-black mess, is ours. We made it the way it is. The difference between the man of the masses and the pupil on the path is that the latter is becoming conscious of his state of being. He sees his own reality. He discovers how he is rolling around in filth. He sees the appalling suffering, the conflict and the limitations in the other one and the other thing. Then the conflict is there. Then he wants to leave his home, his limitations, his filth. He wants to escape his state of being. To become conscious of one's state is a grace, but to forcibly back out of it is adultery. In the old times, there were also pupils on the path. They practiced the splitting of their personalities. They escaped their mess, their state of being. You try to do it in a different way. You flee from this into that, from the other thing to the other one. That is adultery. You do not accept life. You want to get rid of it, to practice yourself out of it. You want to intoxicate yourself out of it, pray yourself out of it, break out of it through occultism. That is adultery. The result is that you are constantly attracted by your state of being. When you swapped the first other thing for the second, you did not progress 1 millimeter. Then do we have to accept life the way it is at this moment? Yes, we do. Isn't this life one great bitterness? Isn't it one great dissonance? Isn't it totally to be rejected when we place it in God's light? Yes, it is. When one sees the path and life, shouldn't one go the path? Yes, friends. However, the path does not require what you want. You want to get out, to get off. You want to force things. In this regard, you are still completely of the old nature. You want to break up without building. You are Cain, the revolutionary who murders and burns everything down. When you are conscious of something new, it does not mean that you are new. Place yourself before life, before the reality of your personal state. What you have is your consciousness that it should be different, that you cannot bear it, that you are suffocating spiritually. This is a grace. But what now? The Sermon on the Mount continues. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and throw it away. It is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. This is where you can find the answer to your question, what now? In the consciousness of your state of being, you need to proceed to a structural renewal, a fundamental reversal. You must not chase after someone else or something different. You need to change yourself so completely that nothing negative is left. If the Cain type of person wants to revolt, let him revolt within himself. He can do so in the merciful consciousness of his own degeneration. In this way, he does not build a tower without a foundation, but begins at the foundation of his own self and digs deeply in the darkness of his own being. He plucks out all self-seeking, all self-maintenance, and throws it into the fire. Let the lower self-preserving man in you die and approach the other one or the other thing as someone who brings forth love. This total, impersonal, self-effacing love overcomes everything. In this way, the pupil does not accept the macabre game of life in negative resignation, conforming to it, nor does he escape it, thereby committing adultery. No, he breaks through it with the scourge of love which has been released within him, the love that surpasses all understanding, self-will, and self-maintenance, the love that, called by the light, fulfills the light. In this way, we clean up conflicts and become mighty people. In this way, we build a new heaven, earth, when from within, we bring the true, divine game of life into the dark game of life of this world, without adultery.